Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. We're talking about the chronology of eschatology, talking about the panorama of prophecy, and that is the overview of all of the events from the rapture of the church through the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and his ultimate rule and reign throughout all of eternity. Just before the news break, we had a caller on the line. He was discussing setting the stage for his question. Go ahead with your question or comment. I'm sorry for our break. That's a hard break. We can't change, but I'm looking forward to your question and our comment.
That's no problem. AJ had told me that I would probably have to wait till after anyway. And it was a lengthy question. Revelation 18, verses 11 through 15, they're talking about the great city or the great nation that's made the see. I understand, you know, John wrote and Patmos, and all of those things he listed 2,000 years ago would have been like the consumer items of the day, the big ticket. So every time I read that section there, the only country or nation I can possibly that comes to my mind is the United States, because we have risen the entire world in wealth and prosperity since World War II with the Marshall Act. Or was that Marshall? Yeah, Marshall Act. After World War II, the entire world has been lifted up by our constitutional republic that was based on the written word of God. I understand that Babylon is a system of government equivalent to the ancient Babylon, where there was a centralized power but delegation of authority across all known lands. I have trouble reconciling those two whenever I read that verse, because it just screams the United States at me. And just curious as to Brother Davis and Dr. Youngblood, your interpretation.
All right, let me put a handle on your question, and let me say this, and it's not saying that I have all the final answers. I've had the privilege of preaching through the book of the Revelation some 10, 15 times, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. I already have the manuscript that, Lord willing, one day, if he lets me live long enough, will be in a commentary for the book of the Revelation. You have the religious Babylonian system in Revelation chapter 17. You have the commercial Babylonian system in chapter 18. Babylon is a real place, a real nation. It is called Iraq and Iran today, covering that old Persian territory. And one day, if many will not see this, but one day, that will be a total revived area. And major thing that revives it is because of oil. All the world is seeking the oil from that part of the world and the globe. And as a result of that, you see major enterprise. Dubai, for example, is set up with major skyscrapers that makes American skyscrapers look like Tinker Toys. So we find two things. You have the Babylonian system, and you have the real Babylon. The reestablishment of Babylon is through Iraq and Iran and what you see taking place today. So when Babylon is fallen, in fact, the merchants will scream and cry, Babylon is fallen, and it's because of all that they've been able to get out of that. And you have the Babylonian merchandising system that you can equate to America, but not just America. You see, America is not even mentioned any place in the prophetic text. It is though America doesn't even exist as far as the prophetic text is concerned. My most humble opinion, and I've said this for many, many years, that before the final days are wrapped up in the book of the Revelation, we'll find America having its demise, merging back with the European system, the old Roman Empire, which would be the revived Roman Empire. We will merge back into that system. I believe that we're on the very verge now of losing our autonomy, on the very verge of losing our sovereignty as a nation, on the very verge of losing our economic system, on the very verge of seeing our Constitution Republican, our Constitutional Republic being wiped out. We're on the very verge of that. So I cannot say definitively, but I believe America is in the picture that we see, but not as a nation, as named. But it would be the Babylonian system that will collapse. And we're watching that today, where we're seeing now with China, with the e-currency. We're finding Nancy Pelosi wanting to introduce the Fed coin, which is e-currency. And once that takes place, ladies and gentlemen, once that happens, we're going to find the world is wrapped around one, if you please, spool of thread. And that when that thread breaks, it breaks around the globe.
Amen.
So whatever we see taking place in America and around the globe with the economic system today, we find it wedded together. 20, 30, 40 years ago, theologians could not understand how it could affect on a global basis. We understand it today because whatever happens today, one second, it's around the world economically, financially, socially, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because of the connection with the computer system, internet today.
Amen.
So to summarize what we've said, the Babylonian system is spoken of here. The Babylonian system can be identified as the American system. It can be identified as the Iraqi system. It could be identified as the Chinese system, the Russian system. It is the system of global merchandise that in a moment, the scripture says, just in a moment, that is, at the touch of a button with the computer system, at in a moment's time, the global economic system shall collapse in the final days. In fact, in Revelation chapter 18 is the latter portion of the tribulation. It's the wrap-up of the tribulation that brings about consternation, calamity, and chaos as the world has never seen.
Amen.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, yeah. I was just trying to make those cross-references between a modern-day John on Patmos 2,000 years ago and the actual written Revelation itself. And I know it's going to happen there, you know, that God wins in the end, and I completely understand it. I'm just, it's a lot of times whenever you read that, it's just like, it just living in the United States, and I read that, you know, the world has become rich. You know, I'm like thinking, I can't think of any other nation right off, and in today's time that has made the entire world as wealthy as it is. I mean, China is a great example. 1970s, they couldn't, you know, they could barely launch a rocket. Today, they're dominant. You know,
here's a little help in that unit of thought that will help us to understand it, I think, better. In the 20th and 21st verse and following, it says, "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her."
Mm-hmm.
Now. Amen. That does not apply to America.
No.
That applies to the Babylonian system out of a real nation called Babylon and the entire system. And verse 21, "And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with the violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all."
Amen.
So we find it's going to happen, according to the earlier verses, in a moment. It'll happen at, I'm calling it, the snap of a finger. We'll find the merchants around the globe bewailing the fact that the merchandising system of shipping, of industry, of gold and pearls and silver, et cetera, will all have collapsed. We can look at the stock market. We can look at the international monetary market and the connectivity on the internet, and it identifies it perfectly with how it will happen and what will happen. And so it will include America, but it's not speaking specifically to America. It is the Babylonian system.
Amen. Amen.
And then they're talking the worldwide system that's going to be the beast itself there that will control every single human on Earth.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, we'll be gone before that, right?
Absolutely.
I don't
we'll
want to be
suddenly
here for that.
Snatched out of here. We won't go through one moment of that. We will see persecution, but we will see, and we will see prosecution, but not the great persecution that's found. The wrath, which is the Greek word thumos, the white hot anger of God, will not be poured out upon the Bible-believing, God-loving Christian. We'll be out of here, gone. Thank
Amen.
You so much, Sophie, for your call. It's
Thank
a blessing
you.
To hear from you. Keep
Amen.
Looking up. If you'd like to have the book, leave your information with AJ that we can ship those to you. Looking forward to it. I believe we have another call on the line. Give you the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, thank you so much for picking up the hot potato of the tribulation. That's that's not really delved into, and you sure answered a lot of questions this morning for me. But I'm a little amazed that two things. One is the Democrats managed to shut off America's paychecks, but theirs didn't get shut off. Nancy got her check. Chuck got his check. But the average worker in America was told not to go to work, but he didn't get a check. And I think that's a travesty. But the next thing is, my question is, Dr. Youngblood, I went in the grocery store last night. There's huge gaps of merchandise that's not there. Now, I'm not buying that every piece of food we eat comes from overseas. I know there's some ships setting off California that hadn't been unloaded, but there's a lot of stuff that's grown and canned and sold and trucked right here in the lower 48 states. How is this shortage being done? I know if you cut somebody's paycheck off and their food off, you control them. But what is the story on this?
The short story is, and I could elongate it, the short story is the truckers are simply refusing to truck. They're going through major, major, major consternation and demand. When they go to a port, when they go to a dock to pick up stuff, most of these places are demanding a COVID pass to prove they've been vaccinated. Many of the truckers are independent truckers. They're saying that we're simply not going to be told what we must introduce into our bodies. They're saying that we're going to have control over what we, whether we take the jab or not. And they're saying no to that, number one. Number two, others of the truckers are involved in the trucking unions, and in the unions, they're making a decision that we're going to just stop driving the trucks until we get some relief from the Biden administration. And thirdly, and perhaps I should have said number one, it is the Biden administration that's orchestrating these calamities in order to control the people that will be submissive and surrender to the demands to take the jab. There's one goal, there's one facet of what the Biden administration is doing. They're focused on, and they have a worship of, the COVID jab. That's their worship. That's their focus. That's their intent. And the intent, the focus ultimately, is to force every American to submit and surrender to what the government says rather than what God says.
Amen.
That's the bottom line. And what Biden is doing, he is going to get it to such an apex that we'll find. In fact, I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet, and I've said that many times lately, dealing with Amos, the 7th chapter, verse 14 and 15, where Amos made that statement. So I'm parroting what Amos said, not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet. But it is my humble expectation that before June of this year, I contend even before the end of this first quarter, we're going to find major, 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 major interest increase, major inflation, major stagflation, and as a result of that, empty shelves on just about any place you'd go. Right now, if you were to order any appliance for your home or for your business, it could be a washing machine, a dishwasher, a dryer, et cetera, you've got between 3 and 9 months to get delivery on it. Because we have been so dependent upon foreign trade for foreign manufacturing, we can't even finish automobiles out of Detroit because they do not have the computer chips, because the rare earth minerals that's needed for that is now controlled by the nation of China. And China's purposely withholding merchandise and products so that it will collapse the economy of the United States of America.
Amen.
That is, in short, where we're going. And the Biden administration is doing nothing. The Biden administration is silent. When it comes to China, when it comes to Russia, they call the shots. Biden simply bows and bends and says, yes, sir, they're doing nothing about it. Right now, Russia and China have formed an allegiance, an alliance, to help Venezuela and to go on the shores 90 miles from America in Cuba and support and sustain Cuba and the Cuban government right under our nose. And Biden is doing nothing about it. We can blame all that we see taking place today on the Biden administration that's purposely collapsing the capitalistic system to introduce the Build Back Better, the communist, socialist, Marxist agenda that the entire Biden administration is built on.
Amen. And then in addition to what you just said, Dr. Youngblood, as a truck driver myself from the past, I drove trucks about 10 years ago.
Yes.
And I know this for a fact. Now, here's another thing I heard in addition to everything you just said, is that some of those drivers are also being told that if their trucks are over 4 years old,
yes,
they can't bring them on the port.
Can't bring them on the port or the docks.
I know some guys that have trucks that are dinosaurs.
Yes.
But they're in good mechanical running shape.
That's it.
That's how these guys have been making a living for their families down through the years.
Mm-hmm.
They can't afford to buy the newer versions of the trucks, but they have a truck in good mechanical shape, so they are able to continue to make a living for their families.
Yes.
The next thing I heard was that they're demanding that these guys have electric semis.
Yes.
Where are they? They don't exist in the U.S.
They don't exist. That's right.
I've never seen an electric or battery operated.
Nope.
Like the new cars that's coming out now, they're battery-operated electric.
Mm-hmm.
Electric semis don't exist.
Don't exist.
So they are denying these guys the privilege
to
make a living.
It is the Biden administration rules and regulations to collapse the system.
Amen.
Tom, I hope that answers your questions. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today eschatological chronology, the chronology of what's going to happen. The next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, the idea of the rapture of the church should bring comfort and hope and peace and serenity in the hearts and the lives of every child of God. If we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died, if we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was buried, if we believe that he rose again on the third day, we must understand that the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church.
Amen.
It is something that is absolutely certain, and that characteristics is there's a shout. With the shout, the Lord Jesus Christ himself will scream from heaven and call us wherever we are. Ladies and gentlemen, that body that's been in the grave for 100 years, 1,000 years, it doesn't matter.
Amen.
That grave that was just opened up yesterday and that precious body placed in that grave, it doesn't matter.
Amen.
Wherever you are, wherever you've been buried, if you said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, one day you're going to come out of that grave. Pastor, I never will forget being in the lockup out at Florida State Prison. Preached a Thanksgiving message, I believe it was 1976, 1977, went through five doors hearing the guard lock the door, lock the door, lock the door, and I'm in there with a group of prisoners, and the majority of them in there were black men. They had nothing, no instruments, nothing. They were singing, a group over on one side of the room making harmony with their lips, boom, ba, boom, ba, boom, 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 boom,
yeah.
And the other one singing, one of them singing, ain't no grave going to hold my body
Amen.
Down, ain't
Amen.
No grave going to hold my body down, and that is the joy of the Lord in seeing the text that gives us the assurance that one day we're
Amen.
Coming up out of that grave where our bodies are going to be reunited. We'll have the incorrupted bodies, incorruptible bodies that will be with the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's
it
good
is
church
the,
right
It
there.
Is the shout that we hear first. It is the summons after Jesus Christ calls us out of the grave. The archangel will call us up to meet him in the heavenlies, in the clouds with the
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And there's the sound. It's the sound of the trumpet of God.
Amen.
I tell people, Pastor, they need to stop looking for signs and listen for sounds.
That's right.
Is
Amen.
Your ear
Amen.
Tuned to the trumpet of God?
Amen.
Because one day that trumpet's going to sound, ladies and gentlemen. And if you've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, you're going to come up out of that grave, wherever you are, regardless of where your body's been placed, regardless of where it's been buried, you're going to come up out of that grave. And it's the swiftness. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 52 says that rapture is going to be in the twinkling of an
Amen.
Eye.
Amen. Amen. In a moment.
In a moment. In the
Praise
twinkling
God.
Of an eye. That moment is the term atomos. It's atom in the time that it takes, for example, if we see what an atom is like and the splitting of atoms, we can't sit with the natural eye. It takes a telescope, microscope, et cetera, in the scientific lab to do that. But in that moment, in that twinkling of an eye, and many people talk about the batting of the eye. It's not the batting of the eye.
Amen.
It's the twinkling of the eye. And ladies and gentlemen, if you've ever stood outside talking with a loved one or friend in the summertime and the bright sunshine and that moisture on the eyeball and you look and there's a little twinkle, that crosses that eyeball.
Amen.
That's the twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
1 minute we're here, the next nanosecond we're out of this old world. I don't know about anybody else, but
Amen.
I'm looking forward to that rapture of the church.
Amen.
And the thing is, the scripture says, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the air. Those that are sleeping in the Lord Jesus Christ will be first. And it says that we're not going to prevent them. That word prevent means go before.
Amen.
The
Amen.
Ones that are sleeping today, the ones that are in the graves today that said yes to Jesus Christ, they'll come out of that grave first. And then we which are serving, that is the ones that are alive, the Christians,
Amen.
Will be caught up together
Amen.
With the Lord in the air.
And that other great song in the church, when
yes.
all of God's children get together.
Amen.
What a time, what a time, what
I'm
a
rejoicing
time.
That
I'm looking
be.
Forward to that day, Dr.
Amen,
Young
absolutely.
Amen.
It's the time we get together with the Lord.
Amen.
And ladies and gentlemen, I say this with great encouragement for us because many family circles are broken because the loved one's going on to be with the Lord. That great, grand, glorious day will be the greatest homecoming celebration.
Amen.
The
Amen.
World has ever known. In fact, it's the homecoming celebration to be out of this world,
Amen.
If you want to put it that way, as we gather together with our family members.
Amen.
Wherefore comfort ye one another. We should be comforting one another with the words of assurance from that. But ladies and gentlemen, immediately after the rapture of the church, we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There are a lot of people that say, well, what do you do when we're raptured out? What do we do in heaven? If heaven is going to be eternal, everlasting, with no end, what do you do in that period of time? Ladies and gentlemen, as we study the scripture doesn't leave any ands, buts, or ors, or ifs in place. You look at Revelation chapter 6 through chapter 18, gives you the details of all that's going to take place during the days of the tribulation. Look at Matthew chapter 24, Luke chapter 21, and Mark chapter 13, the eschatological text in the Bible, and it gives full details of what's going to take place. But ladies and gentlemen, immediately following the rapture of the church, we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's called the Bema Seat Judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We've still got time for some other callers if you've got any questions. And remember the book, Panorama of Prophecy, 155-page book. Had the privilege of publishing that in 2011. It retails for about $17. It's yours free of charge today. If you call in, request the book, AJ will take your name and address, and we'll ship that book directly to you. If you have a question to ask, we'd love to hear from you today.
Amen.
But ladies and gentlemen, immediately following the rapture of the church, every believer is going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 13, 10 through 13, ladies and gentlemen, Romans chapter 14, verse 10, these verses tell us that we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account for every deed, D-E-E-D, every deed done to the body, whether it be good or bad. The word bad there is the word poneros. It means evil, wicked, of no account, no value. So the question is, ladies and gentlemen, what are you doing after salvation in serving the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe we have a caller on the line. Give you the question or comment, please.
Hi, gentlemen. I'm glad to speak with you, Dr. Youngblood. This is Austin from Jacksonville. I was just given a call because I have a question on the rapture. And you talk about when the Bible states those sleeping in Jesus. That time when everybody is in the grave now? I thought when people passed and they were saved, surrendered for Jesus Christ, that they go up to heaven. Now, are you telling me that they wait in the grave until the rapture?
No. I'm glad you asked the question to clarify that.
Amen.
Any listener that may, we're not talking about soul sleep as is found in Seventh Adventism, as found in many of the cults today. Soul sleep means that your body and your soul, spirit, the real you, the real me, remains in the grave. That's not so. To be absent from body is to be present with the Lord, according to Scripture. The nanosecond that life leaves this body, we're before the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're there in spirit bodies. We're there in our glorified bodies. But there's coming a day that the body will come out of the tomb, come out
Amen.
Of the grave, be reunited with the real you, the real me, the spirit of man, the soul of man, our soul, be reunited with that body, and we'll spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ in our then incorruptible body. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us. In fact, there's 58 verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the best text in all the Bible about the resurrection, our resurrected bodies, and what we'll be like. No. No such thing theologically, biblically, doctrinally as soul sleep. Time we die, we're with Jesus if we've said yes to him as Savior and as Lord. But that body does not be reunited with the spirit man, the inner man, the real me, the real you. We walk around in what I call the pod. Somebody said one time on a great tombstone, said, here he is, he shelled out of the pod and gone on to be with God. We've shelled out of the pod and we've gone on to be with God. Time we say yes to Jesus. Our body, the flesh part of us, is in that grave, deteriorating. But one day it'll come out of the grave, be reunited, and the real me and the real you will be with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, I appreciate that clarification. Thank you, gentlemen, and bless
your
ministry.
Much for
your Thank you so much.
God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you
and then,
calling.
Dr. Youngblood, we must realize Scripture lets us know to the uttermost Jesus saves.
Yes.
When he saves the individual, he saves you, spirit, soul, and body. Everything belongs to God.
Yes.
Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Yes.
So again, let's not forget everything about reality. F-E-A-R. As I said at the beginning of the program, F-E-A-R, this is what causes us to forget about what's real in the Word of God.
That's right.
I heard Dr. Phelps say on the other night, explaining in the class, say, what we should use as a rule is the rule of first mention.
Mm-hmm.
Things that were first mentioned in the Bible.
Yes.
So when we go back to the Scripture and see where when God raised Jesus from the dead, he raised up that body.
Right.
And when Jesus went back to heaven in Acts chapter 1, his body
went up. Absolutely.
Went up. Mm-hmm. Amen. So when we go to 1 Corinthians 15 and 58,
right.
Well, other verses too, go back up to 53 and come back down, I believe. Well, you can go up to 50 and come back down.
Right.
Amen. It tells us, amen, that the incorruptible body of the believer shall be raised.
That's right.
So God claims everything. He doesn't just claim part of it, but he's going to claim it all,
Amen.
And that includes the body.
Amen. Absolutely.
Amen.
And ladies and gentlemen, at that Bema Seat judgment, where we are judged for the works done in the body, whether it be good or bad, that's where we get the rewards, the crowns, the Scripture calls. There's the crown incorruptible, 1 Corinthians 9:25. That's for the one that is committed. The crown of rejoicing in 1 Thessalonians 2:19. That's for the soul winner. The crown of life, James 1:12. That's for those that have endured the trials and the tribulations and kept on serving the Lord. The crown of righteousness, and that's in 2 Timothy 4:8. That's the crown for the believer that's looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus. The crown of glory, 1 Peter 5:4. That's the crown for the shepherds, the pastors of the churches. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that this has been refreshing, informational, and beneficial and challenging to you today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Amen. Be blessed.
1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also, tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.